Okay, we've got one last time. I've got a bunch more, but let me just ask you one about evil. Does evil exist? And if it does, do we ignore it? Do we negotiate with it? Do we contain it? Do we defeat it?
Evil does exist. I mean, I think we see evil all the time. Mm-hmm. We see evil in Darfur. Mm-hmm. We see evil, some sadly, on the streets of our cities. We see evil in parents who viciously abuse their children. Mm-hmm. And I think it has to be confronted. It has to be confronted squarely. And one of the things that I strongly believe is that we are not going to, as individuals, be able to erase evil from the world. That is God's task. But we can be soldiers in that process, and we can confront it when we see it. Now, the one thing that I think is very important is for us to have some humility in how we approach the issue of confronting evil. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of evil has been perpetrated based on the claim that we were trying to confront evil.
In the name of good.
In the name of good.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think one thing that's very important is having some humility in recognizing that just because we think our intentions are good doesn't always mean that we're going to be doing good.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to some domestic issues. Don't give me your stump speech on these. Let's go through it.
All right. This is hard. I've been on the stump for a long time.
I know it is.
All right.
Okay. The courts. Let me ask it this way. Which existing Supreme Court justice would you not have nominated?
That's a good one. That's a good one. I would not have nominated Clarence Thomas. I don't think that he. I don't think that he was a strong enough jurist or legal thinker at the time for that elevation. Mm-hmm. Setting aside the fact that I profoundly disagree with his interpretations of a lot of the Constitution, I would not nominate Justice Scalia, although I don't think there's any doubt about his intellectual brilliance, because he and I just disagree. He taught at University of Chicago, as did I, in the law school.
How about John Roberts?
John Roberts, I have to say, was a tougher question only because I find him to be a very compelling person, in conversation individually. He's clearly smart, very thoughtful. I will tell you that how I've seen him operate since he went to the bench confirms the suspicions that I had and the reason that I voted against him. And I'll give you one very specific instance, and this is not a stump speech.
All right.
I think one of the
when I pick this up, it means...
Right, exactly. I'm getting accused. I'm getting accused. One of the most important jobs of, I believe, the Supreme Court is to guard against the encroachment of the executive branch on the power of the other branches.
Okay.
And I think that he has been a little bit too willing and eager to give a administration, whether it's mine or George Bush's, more power than I think the Constitution originally intended.
Okay. The role of faith-based organizations. Recent poll says 80% of Americans think faith-based organizations do a better job at community services than the government. Helping addictions, prisoner reentry, all the different homelessness, poverty, things like that. Now, the Civil Rights Act of 64 says that faith-based organizations have a right to hire people who believe like they do. Would you insist that faith-based organizations forfeit that right to access federal funds?
Well, first of all, I think you're aware, Pastor Rick, that that I gave a speech earlier this summer
on faith-based.
Promoting faith-based initiatives. Mm-hmm. I think that we should have an all-hands-on-deck approach when it comes to issues like poverty and substance abuse. And as somebody who got my start out of college working with churches who were trying to deal with the devastation of steel plants closing in the south side of Chicago, I know the power of faith-based institutions to get stuff done. What I have said is that when it comes, first of all, to funding faith-based organizations, they are always free to hire whoever they want when it comes to their own mission, who their pastor is, the various ministries that they want to set up. But, and this has been a long-standing rule.
Like a Christian university?
Absolutely. When it comes to the programs that are federally funded, then we do have to be careful to make sure that we are not creating a situation where people are being discriminated against using federal money. That's not new. That's a concept that was true under the Clinton administration, that was true under the Bush administration. There are, in 95% of the circumstances, it's not an issue because people are careful about how they use the funds. There are some tough issues, 5% of the situations, where people might say, you know, I want to hire somebody of my faith for a program that is fully funded by the federal government and we're offering services to the public.
For instance, like in relief, like in Katrina.
Right.
If I took people to Katrina and I wanted to hire some people to do relief, I would still, if I took federal money to help in that relief, I wouldn't be able to say, oh, I only want people who believe like we do.
Well, you know, it's one of those situations where the devil's in the details.
Yeah.
I think, generally speaking, faith-based organizations should not be advantaged or disadvantaged when it comes to getting federal funds by virtue of the fact that they're faith-based organizations.
Okay.
They just want a level playing field. But what we do want to make sure of is that, as a general principle, we're not using federal funding to discriminate. But that is only when it comes to the narrow program that is being funded by the federal government. That does not affect any of the other ministries that are being taken that are taking place.
Okay, let's go to education. America right now ranks 19th in high school graduations. We're first in incarcerations.
Not good.
Not good. 80% of Americans, recent poll said they believe in merit pay. Now, for teachers, do you? I'm not asking, do you think all teachers should get a raise? Do you think better teachers should be paid better? They should be paid more than poor teachers?
I think that we should, and I've said this publicly, that we should set up a system of performance pay for teachers, negotiated with teachers, worked with the teachers to figure out the assessments so that they feel like they're being judged fairly, that it's not at the whim of the principal, that it's not simply based on a single high-stakes standardized test, but the basic notion that teaching is a profession, that teachers are underpaid, so we need to pay them all more, and create a higher baseline, but then we should also reward excellence.
Reward excellence.
I think that is a concept that all of us should embrace.
Okay. Okay, taxes. This is a real simple question. Define rich. Okay, give me a number. Is it 50,000, 100,000, 200,000? Everybody keeps talking about well, who we're going to tax.
Right.
How do you define that?
You know, if you've got book sales of 25 million, then you qualify. I just want to.
Okay. I'm not asking about me.
Look, here's how I think about it. Here's how I think about it.